final proofs, the consecration not done. In this episode of Signs and Secrets, host Mariana Bartold concludes her mini-series on how we know the proper consecration of Russia has not yet been made. Know the seven conditions delineated by Our Lady. Then you can read the papal texts for yourself of 14 failed consecrations and see if they are what Our Lady commanded, and even identify religious gaslighting when it occurs. Mariana concludes by reminding us of two very important quotes, one from Our Lady, the other from Sister Lucia.
If you've been watching this series, you'll know that I've already shared copious evidence which proves that through the Fatima apparitions, the Virgin Mary's simple yet specific commands for the collegial consecration of Russia and the five first Saturdays of reparation are still not fulfilled. In this episode, I will provide the final proofs. Dear listeners, hello and welcome. I'm Mariana Bartold, the guest host of Signs and Secrets, featured by the Fatima Center. I'm the author of Fatima, the Signs and Secrets, Guadalupe, Secrets of the Image, and the host of my own modest channel, Genesis 315. Thanks to the generosity of the Fatima Center, you'll find in the description box the various links to my works and to my channel. Now, how is the word consecration defined? It is an ecclesiastical act by which a person or a thing is definitely set apart for some religious office, state, or use. It is superior to and more solemn than blessings, from which it must be distinguished. Now, that definition is taken from a Catholic Home Encyclopedia, which is found in the Family Rosary edition of the Holy Bible, 1953. Here's a second example, this time from the 1908 Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, which can be found online. Consecration, in general, is an act by which a thing is separated from a common and profane to a sacred use, or by which a person or thing is dedicated to the service and worship of God by prayers, rites, and ceremonies. Now, to briefly reiterate, via Our Lady of the Rosary, otherwise known as Our Lady of Fatima, heaven has given a twofold command, which, as I've already said, but must repeat again, consists of the collegial consecration of Russia, and Russia alone, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the papal promulgation of the five first Saturdays of reparation to the same Immaculate Heart. To be clear, this order or this charge is directed to the Pope, who in turn must command the Church's bishops throughout the world to join him on the same day. The Pope cannot issue to the bishops a mere invitation, but a papal command, because a command from a superior to a subordinate must be obeyed. Please understand that I mentioned this command to the Pope because there is sometimes confusion over the Virgin's prophecy at Fatima, when she said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she," meaning Russia, "will be converted, and an era of peace will be granted to mankind." Even now, at this late hour, there are Catholics who erroneously insist that the Mother of God meant that only the Holy Father will consecrate Russia, but the proofs that I've already demonstrated show you that the claim is honestly contradicted. In reality, the Virgin's words mean that on some future day, a pope will finally obey her motherly command to direct the bishops to join him on one appointed day in making this collegial consecration. By the way, if you're new to this series on the collegial consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or if you would like a refresher, please see my previous Signs and Secrets broadcasts, starting with episode 8, entitled Proof the Consecration Was Never Done. To continue, the last episode, number 12, provided further proofs up to the month of May in the year of our Lord, 1989. This final episode on the consecration chronology will bring us to the last consecration on March the 25th, 2022. But first, I would like to show you a page from the Fatima Crusader magazine. This is from the summer 2022 edition, issue number 129. That's 129, which lists, as I hope you can see, the history of failed consecrations to date. You can see the dates here, and you can see all of the various requirements by Our Lady, which are very simple requirements. So please contact the Fatima Center if you would like your own copy of this issue. And as I have already demonstrated and will today complete with final proofs, the total number of 14 papal works or feats, again, which are listed in this issue of the Fatima Crusader, 14 papal works or feats, which at least in 6 cases were called an act of entrustment, not a consecration, in at least 3 or more ways failed to execute heaven's 7 precise yet simple conditions. Now that is not as complicated as it may first sound, and so I will explain it with these 7 steps. First, this consecration must be a consecration. It cannot be an act of entrustment, or a radio address, or an apostolic letter, or an encyclical, as was the case with all 3 of Pius XII's acts. To this I shall add an important note. Because the Church knows, as I've already shared with you the definitions, at least from 2 different sources, how the word consecration is defined and how a consecration is performed, we can and should dismiss the erroneous claims that there is no existing formula for the collegial consecration of Russia. And that is because if a model is truly needed, the Church only needs to look back to her history with any consecration. In fact, extracting certain precise words of Our Lady, who in 1929 revealed that God wants this consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, are more than sufficient. There's also the model of the prayer of consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which was composed by Pope Leo XIII, and which can be easily modified to make the prayer of collegial consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which can then be distributed from the Vatican to all of the world's bishops, along with the command to join the Pope on one particular day to make this same consecration. Second, and as Sister Lucia made clear, and which I did mention in at least 2 of the past Signs and Secrets episodes, the object of consecration must be Russia, and Russia alone, without any addition. Third, the consecration of Russia must be made to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, not any of the Virgin's other titles or forms of address. Unfortunately, other forms of address were used in past acts, which made the act, or even the consecration, made to, quote, the Heavenly Mother, or to her maternal heart, or to the Virgin of Fatima, and so on. Another example of not fulfilling even one of the most simple conditions. Now, while all of those are true titles, the one which the Mother of God specified for the collegial consecration of Russia is a consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Fourth, the consecration, obviously, must be led by a reigning pope, who, fifth, must command all of the world's bishops who are in union with the Catholic Church to join him on the same day. Sixth, the consecration must be a solemn and public ceremony. Seventh, a public act of reparation must be made, and the Pope must universally promulgate the 5 first Saturdays of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for the 5 blasphemies against the same Immaculate Heart. With that said, and as should be by now clear, since 1942, the object or various objects of all 14 consecrations, or, as they were sometimes called, acts of entrustment, every time varied, and especially in the last act of March the 25th, 2022, included many additions. Since 1942, popes have either consecrated or made acts of entrustment of almost everything, but never of Russia alone. These 14 acts made the object of consecration or entrustment either the Church and the world, or the peoples of Russia, or the human race, or the Vatican to Council to separated brethren, or the world of the second millennium, or the human family, or of all people, or priests, or Italy. And with the last consecration, as with the last consecration, I should say, of March the 25th, 2022, the objects included ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine, followed by even more additions. But never once in any of these 14 consecrations was it Russia and Russia alone. Never with all of the Catholic bishops of the world joining the Pope, never carrying out all of those simple conditions as commanded by heaven. One would reason by now that after 14 failed acts, the entire Church militant would recognize the need to explicitly obey the Virgin's clear directions for this commanded consecration. Now, before I get to the acts made by Pope Francis, the following outline of 14 deficient consecrations includes what I mentioned earlier, the 7 lesser-known papal acts. And these are also listed very simply in the list from the Fatima Crusader magazine. Now, just as with all the others, heaven's directives were repeatedly not obeyed. So, let's begin. October the 11th, 1954, Pope Pius XII, in an encyclical letter, entrusted the human race to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. June 7th, 1981, Pope John Paul II made an act of entrustment of the human family to Mary, mentioning her as a mother and alluding even to her heart, but never mentioning the title of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And of course, as with all the others, there were other deficiencies. Then on October the 16th, 1983, John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. May 13th, 1991, Pope John Paul II made a public entrustment of the human race, but this time he didn't direct it to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On October the 8th, in the year 2000, John Paul II made another public entrustment, this time of all people. But again, he didn't command the bishops to join him, Russia was not mentioned, and while there were 1,500 bishops present at that particular act, this public entrustment, not all of the Church's bishops were in any way involved. And again, the act was not directed to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then there were the two acts of Pope Benedict XVI. On May 12, 2010, the Pope performed a consecration of priests to the Maternal Heart of Mary. On May 26, 2011, Pope Benedict XVI entrusted Italy to Mater Unitatis, which in English is translated to Mother of Unity, not the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So as can be seen with all of these acts, Russia was not the sole object of consecration. The world's bishops were not commanded to join any of these popes, and the title of the Immaculate Heart of Mary was infrequently hailed. Now, this takes us to the acts made by Pope Francis in 2013 and 2022. In August of 2013, it was announced that on October the 13th of that same year, with the official Fatima Shrine statue of Our Lady of the Rosary brought from Fatima to Rome, Pope Francis would make the consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The mainstream Catholic media world repeated this same announcement, but to this day, if you use the internet to research articles regarding that occasion, even before and even after, there still remains the outright fabrication that Francis consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart. Yet, when the anticipated day of October 13, 2013 arrived, it became clearly evident that there was no consecration of any kind, not even of the world, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary was not once mentioned. Instead, it was an act of entrustment, presumably of Francis himself, those present, and perhaps those afar, whether lay or cleric, who spiritually joined in this act. The text of Pope Francis's 2013 Act of Entrustment is as follows, quote, "Blessed Virgin Mary of Fatima, with renewed gratitude for your maternal presence, we unite our voice with that of all the generations who call you blessed. We celebrate in you the great works of God, who never tires to incline with mercy on humanity, afflicted by evil and wounded by sin, to heal it and save it. Accept with the compassion of a mother the act of entrustment which today we make with confidence before this your image to us so dear. We are certain that each one of us is precious in your eyes, and that nothing which dwells in our hearts is unknown to you. Let us reach your sweet gaze and receive the consoling caress of your smile. Guard our life in your arms. Bless and strengthen every good desire. Revive and foster faith. Sustain and illumine hope. Create and enliven charity. Guide all of us in the path of holiness." Unquote. So, as you can see, again, this was not a consecration of the world. It was a different kind of act entirely. Now let us fast forward to March the 25th, 2022, when Pope Francis and many, but not all, of the world's Catholic bishops consecrated to the Immaculate Heart, ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. The pertinent words of this consecration were as follows. Quote, "Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine." And then more objects of the consecration were added. The consecration formula said, quote, "To you we consecrate the future of the whole human family, the needs and expectations of every people, the anxieties and hopes of the world." Unquote. Once again, for all of the reasons previously stated, this was yet another failed consecration. Now, only hours before this faulty consecration, the Vatican News website released an article entitled "Theological Significance of Act of Consecration Explained." As should be clear to all, this strategically timed article, including an interview with a highly placed person in the Vatican, was an unfortunate but artistic example of religious gaslighting. For example, the article claims that the consecration will be made by all the bishops of the world. But that's not what happened. And it spotlights the president of the Pontifical International Marian Academy, Stefano Maria Sechin, who made a somewhat lengthy, coy statement which cleverly made a brief mention of Our Lady asking for the consecration of Russia, but he failed to explicitly state all of her commands to the Pope and to the entire church militant. Further examples? There was no mention that the consecration must be of Russia and Russia alone, and that the consecration must be collegial. There was no mention of the errors of Russia, and I will emphasize that the word errors is plural. There was no mention of the Daily Rosary, the Five First Saturdays, the Brown Scapular, otherwise known as the Scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. There was no mention of fidelity to daily duty as our own penance, and making all that we do a sacrifice to God in reparation for sins and for the conversion of sinners. Instead, Sechin claimed that this consecration was a renewal. presumably of previous consecrations, although he never said that directly, which is, I'm sorry to say again, a blatant falsehood, and he emphasized what he called the concept of synodality, claiming that Francis's invitation to the bishops to join him in this act was connected to Francis's highly controversial, to say the least, papal encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. Rather than admit that this consecration was requested of Francis by the Ukrainian bishops, who generally referred to Our Lady of Fatima's request, although they were partially in error regarding the only object of the consecration, Sixin merely stated in part, quote, Pope Francis emphasizes that the journey of saving the world we must make together, not alone. This is why, at this time, the whole Church must be united as in a great synod, a great council in which God is asked to intervene. Unquote. What he failed to explain is why Francis made the consecration before a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which, in the eyes of the Catholic world, did indeed connect this consecration to Fatima. Almost every line of Sechin's statement is a stunning example of duplicity, but time does not permit me to read it in its entirety. And so, for that reason, I encourage listeners to search for that article on the internet and compare what he said to that which has been revealed by this consecration chronology. And if you haven't done so already, I invite you to read and study the trusted Fatima literature, including Sister Lucia's original memoirs, and access the resources found on the Fatima Center website. And last but not least, with two important quotes for our reflection and action, I will conclude. The first is from Our Lady herself, who said on the day of the miracle of the sun at Fatima, "People must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. Do not offend the Lord our God any longer. He is already deeply offended." The second is from Sister Lucia of Fatima, and her words are just as imperative for us to know and to practice. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will arrive when a sufficient number of people have fulfilled the Fatima message. Now, in the next episode, I will be talking about why the 13th day, explaining certain things which I had investigated years ago, wrote about for Catholic Family News, and included in my book, Fatima, the Signs and Secrets, which is extremely interesting, or should be extremely interesting, from both a religious and, well, deeply spiritual viewpoint is the way I should put it. And after that, I will start talking about the symbolism of the Star of Esther, which was the gold star that you will often see on a statue or artistic rendition or a holy card of Our Lady of Fatima. And so, until the next time, may God bless you, and may Our Lady Mary keep you and yours under her starry mantle. Salve Regina.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. For more resources regarding the message of Fatima and to support this vital apostolate with a donation, please visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Immaculate and Sorrowful Heart of Mary, be our salvation. Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come.